reading Matthew chapter 13 from verses 10 to 17. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And this little this conversation is said in between the parable of the sower and its explanation. And the disciples, they're not just the 12 disciples. We see from Mark chapter 1 that they're also the others who were with the 12 disciples. They came to Christ when they heard that parable to ask him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And his answer is a little surprising, but one that we need to take to heart. Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. What a thought! That to some it is given to understand, and to others it is not. Salvation is a gift, and we are required to ask for it. The Lord Jesus says, and we see it in Mark chapter 1, repent and believe the good news. Paul says in Acts chapter 17, God has commanded all men to repent. And yet, most do not. Why don't they? Well, the reason why they don't, very often, is because they're not able to. They haven't understood. And it's curious, too, that the disciples should ask, Why speakest thou unto them, the people, in parables? Because he was speaking to them as well. And in other parts of Mark's gospel, they're asking him to speak, to give understanding. In other places where this gospel parable is written, the disciples are asking him to explain this parable to them. So they didn't understand it either. And yet, the first point we have is the blessed privilege that we have. We have the explanation of this parable. We have the reason why people don't believe. And when we look at the parable, we realize it's because of the state of people's hearts. We have the seed that falls by the wayside, and the fowls that come up and devour it, from verse 4. And then when we look at the explanation of the parable, we see in verse 19, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. We see that there is a spiritual battle for the hearts of men. Do you know the devil is trying to stop you and me from going to heaven? And the way he does it is to remove the word from us, to stop us believing. He is an active enemy. And he'll specialize on the careless, the ones who allow the seed to fall by the wayside, thinking carelessly that it doesn't really matter. How many people are like that, who think that it doesn't matter what is said in church? It actually doesn't matter whether we go to church or not. Well, if we do that, the seed falls by the wayside. And there's another point for us to consider, isn't it? How diligent are we in our attendance at God's house? Now, attendance at church is not a requirement for salvation. We're not saved by the number of times we go to church, and we're not to make it a legalistic requirement. But where we could go to church and decide not to, the seed has fallen by the wayside, hasn't it? Because there it is, it's fallen, and we're not there to pick it up, because we're at home. And we can be in the church meeting, and the seed can fall on the ground, because we're not listening, because our thoughts are elsewhere. Perhaps we're worrying about something, perhaps we're thinking about the work that we haven't done and need to do, the worries that tomorrow will bring. And so the seed falls by the wayside. And it's not there for us to pick up. And the devil makes sure that we don't. Back to our passage, to the parts that I've drawn your attention to, from verses 10 to 17. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. What a blessing to think that to him who is given, we will be given in more abundance. But it requires us to do something. It requires us to have a right heart. If we go on at the rest of the parable, we see that in verse 4, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the, sorry, verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And then we have a look and we see, well, what does that mean? Verse 20 explains, but he that received the seed into stony places. The same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Have you had that experience? I think it's a temptation for every Christian, isn't it? That we receive with great joy the word. But some of us are not expecting the trouble that comes. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. He hasn't let the word go right down into his heart and change it. And when you became a Christian, I'd like to ask all of us, what was our reaction to the gospel? Was it, I will follow Christ, come what may. Wherever he leads, I will go. I'll pay the ultimate price. I often go back to my own testimony. When I remember when I believed, I remember thinking, I will do what it takes to get to heaven. And friends, we need that willpower, our will to be set. Now, of course, at the end of the day, it's not from us, it's from him. We've seen that. To him who's been given, to him, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So it's faith is given to us. But yet, the state of our hearts determines whether we will follow on. And to some extent, decisions do rely on us, don't they? We do have choices to make. We have choices whether to get up in the morning. We have choices whether to read our Bibles and pray. Yes, it is given to us to believe. And yes, God has chosen his people, but it's not a passive choice. It's not as if we just sit back and do nothing. No, we have to actively take steps. We have to take steps of faith and be committed to following them. We mustn't let hardship, trouble, or persecution derail us. One often thinks that trouble can be within the church as well as outside the church, can't it? Trouble can be from our friends. We didn't think it was going to be like this in the church. Didn't think I was going to have these difficult relationships with other people. Friends, we have to bear with each other in the church. It's not easy. It requires a mindset that will persevere. And then we have the seed that fell amongst thorns. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then that's explained as well. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The care of this world. So easy, isn't it, to be so concerned about everything that we're sitting here, as I said, some of us will be sitting here and the word will pass us by because we're so concerned about other things. And the deceitfulness of riches. How many people think that it's important to have a lot of money? And it's important to chase after that goal. How many people's souls have been shipwrecked because they have set their sails to catch that wind, the wind of prosperity? Friends, how useless is it? You think of how many wealthy people have had their lives taken from them in a moment. And suddenly they find that they're no longer in this world where they can enjoy their riches, but they're in the next world where they have nothing. And if they've not found Christ, they'll be on their own to bear the price of their sins. The price of anyone's sins is death, and that is an eternal death. Friends, it is a terrible cross to bear. Your own sins. It's one that none of us can bear. Only Christ can bear that cross. Only Christ was able to pay the price of our sins. But if we choose the deceitfulness of riches, then we will bear the price of our own sins. And it's ironic, isn't it, that people are taken up with the care of the world. When there's so much in Scripture to tell us to cast our burdens onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that is what we must do, isn't it? Because he cares for us. Why bear our own burdens when Christ has borne them and invites us to cast our burdens upon him? No. The person who will prosper in the faith is the one who is spoken about last. Verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then we have in verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And in Luke, in his explanation of this parable, he has that he that received the word, he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heard with an honest and good heart. Friends, if we have an honest and good heart, then we will receive the gospel and we will press on. Because if we have an honest and good heart towards the gospel, we will have given up everything to serve Christ. And those are the disciples that will have their faith added to. Going back to verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? That it's possible to have taken away from you even what you have, when in fact it says that you have not. Friends, we must not take for granted what we have. Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. When you believe the gospel, act on it. If you stop acting on it, then in effect you stop believing it, and it will be taken away from you. When you compromise, that truth that's been hard fought for will be taken away from you. Because this is a revealed faith, and we must hide it in our hearts. And we're told to guard our hearts, because out of it flows the issues of life. But if we allow our hearts to go off in other directions, we don't guard our hearts. The gates are open, and an enemy will plunder what we have and replace it with something else. Don't harden your hearts, the Bible says in Psalm 95. But today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation in the wilderness. Friends, we must guard our hearts. We mustn't allow them to harden against the Lord and against his word. I don't know how our hearts are this morning, but it's easy, isn't it, to grow restless, to grow cold-hearted. A reflection of our hearts is how we view God's word and how we view God's people. And we see that from 1 John chapter 2. It's a very simple test. If we're obeying God's word and we're loving his people, then we are following the Lord. And it's a test that it indicates that our faith is in the right direction. But if we're careless about God's people and careless about his word, it shows we don't have a love for the Lord. Or that our love is growing cold. And we need to examine ourselves. Friends, going back to the verses that took us to this passage. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Have you and I considered the privilege of being chosen to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Because to others, it seems, from verse 13, that the Lord deliberately closes their ears. And yet we know it's not unjust. God chooses whom he will. And in verse 14, we see a rather frightening explanation of men's motives. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this heart, people's heart, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." It's almost a willfulness, isn't it, on people's part. They've chosen to close their ears. It's as if they're shutting their ears. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to tell them. And they don't want to see the state of their hearts. They don't want to be converted. Because to be converted will change everything. And they don't want to let go. Friends, are we willing to let go of everything, to cast ourselves fully into the hands of the Lord? That is the command of Scripture, isn't it? But how easy it is to hold back. It's interesting also, just by way of passing, and it shows the importance of receiving the word. This is a quote, as we can see, from Isaiah. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus that he is taking to himself. For this people's heart, verse 15, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Go back to, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. And let's remind ourselves of who is speaking in those verses. Verse 8. This is after Isaiah has seen the vision of the Lord of hosts on his throne. And verse 3, and one angel crying to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And Isaiah's response in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then we have the words of the Lord. And he said, the Lord said, verse 9, "Go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their hearts. Hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." And so we see that the Lord Jesus is taking for himself the words of the Lord of heaven and earth. Because the Lord Jesus is Adonai. He is Jehovah. This is the mystery of the Trinity. That God is three persons in one. Every person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is God. And the fullness of the Godhead dwells in each one of them. But this wonderful truth, along with the precious gospel, along with our trust in God's word as coming from God and not from man, these are given to men. They are not worked out. When we try and work things out with our own understanding, we fall into error. And this addition of occasional notes addresses this aspect. Men have tried to work out the Trinity. And they've gone beyond what is written in God's word. And they've fallen into error. Friends, let's remember the privilege which is ours that what we've been given, what we have is what we've been given. We haven't earned any of it. And what more we are given on top of what we have is again by grace. It's given to us. What a blessing is ours. Verse 11 again, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Is our hearts to receive God's word and to be given understanding, or is our heart to judge God's word and to work it out for ourselves? I'm often comforted by Paul's word. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For this cause we also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. How do we come to God's word? Do we come in reverence to his word, acknowledging that on our own we cannot understand it, and we are reliant upon his spirit to make it, bring it to light, to make it understandable for us? Do we humble ourselves under God's word, or do we come in judgment to God's word? That distinguishes whether we are God's children or not. That distinguishes whether more will be added to us or what we have will be taken away from us. And I fear for those in the church who have believed an error on the Trinity, for example. Just as I fear for those who denied penal substitution, denied the truth that Christ died for our sins, that in dying for our sins, God laid his wrath upon his Son, and that his Son bore in our place the judgment that we deserved. Friends, these are vital truths to guard, the truths of the gospel, of our atonement, our justification, by faith, by grace, through faith alone. The Godhead, who Christ is, that he is the Son of the living God, is equal to God, and in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. He is as much Jehovah as any other member of the Trinity. They are all Jehovah, because that is the mystery of the Trinity revealed to us. And the word of God is not, it may have been written by men, but it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you go to 2 Timothy 3:16, to that well-known verse, we're reminded of it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. These words are not men's words. They are the inspired words of the living God, which we must take into our hearts, guard, and act upon. Friends, verse 15 makes it clear that people make their choices. They shut their ears. They shut their eyes. Let's not do that. Let's keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to the Lord Jesus. Let's not reason our way out of obedience. That's what happens, isn't it? I suspect it's happened to all of us. We know what we should do. We know we should attend the prayer meeting or the Bible study or the services, whichever it is. We know that we could, but we decide that we won't. And we have good reasons for it, don't we? It's that very difficult case I've got tomorrow. I haven't got time to pray. I really must work this afternoon because otherwise I won't get this piece of work done for tomorrow and so I won't go to the evening service. I don't know what it is, which excuse it is that might be in our minds. But first of all of us have had them. It's perfectly normal to have those sort of thoughts and doubts. And to have that striving within us, knowing what we should do, but struggling whether we can do it. As I said in my testimony, God never asks us to do what we can't do. He doesn't expect us to pray all day, to read our Bibles all day, and to, as it were, isolate ourselves from the world. He expects us to do our duty diligently. And of course we must spend the time needed. But will we bring God into our work? Will we put him first? Because the word says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 31, I think it is. But it's when we won't do that. It's when we decide that we won't take scripture as it's written. We won't take the challenges that come to our hearts to obey. We'll find a loophole. I remember someone saying to me, I believe he changed at the end of his life by God's grace. He said, I believe there's a backdoor entrance for me. There's no backdoor entrance for any of us. There's no escape route so that we can avoid obeying God's word. No, friends, if we are Christians, it's been given to us by God to know these things. And we're to live our lives by grace through faith. As soon as we stop doing that, as soon as we hold back, God has no pleasure in us. There is no halfway house for the Christian. It is, I'm afraid, all or nothing. Is all our hearts given to Christ? If it not all our heart is given to Christ, then it is as if none of our heart is given to Christ, which is why the Lord Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 to the church at Laodicea, how I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's a Christian who's believed and grown colder. It's a Christian who was hot and he's allowed the temperature to cool down. I remember a man of God who I greatly admired, who's long been with the Lord now. One of the surprising things he said is he said one of the challenges in his old age was keeping the fires burning. It will never go away. We've got to keep the fires burning. And it was often said that if you take a coal, one coal out of a fire, and you put it on the hearth, you can watch its red hot glow gradually disappear and be left with a black coal. Because it's not together with the other coals in the fire. You may sometimes think it's a furnace of affliction, but it's an affliction for the good of our souls. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we read that stern injunction of the Lord that we are not, verse 24 and 25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. How we keep hot is keeping assembling with other Christians. We've had a testimony of a blessing of the prayer meetings. They are a blessing, and you can attend by phone. You don't have to be there in person. Tomorrow, I am likely to be cycling to court during the prayer meeting. It's not ideal, but needs must, and at least we can still all pray together. And that's something that I would encourage all of us to do. Let's try and keep in touch. Let's make the effort, if we can. Again, the Lord never asks us to do what we can't. But ask ourselves, can we? Or will we? Is it a matter of possibility, or is it a matter of my will that I've decided I'm not going to do it? Friends, this is the challenge of today's passage, isn't it? That these parables are given to the people of God because they're part of God's people. They're given, and they're given with understanding. But to those who are not part of God's people, they will not be understood. Natural understanding will get us nowhere. It is a great privilege that we can be called the people of God, because we've been chosen out of the world, not for our own, not by our own works, not by our own efforts, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. God has chosen us. Yes, we have made that choice ourselves, but it's because God has opened our eyes so that we can make it. I don't understand it, friends. I don't understand the interaction between our human responsibility and God's choice to open our eyes. But somehow the two meet. They are two sides of the same coin. And friends, let us never forget that we owe all to Christ for our salvation. We owe all to Christ for opening our eyes. But decisions are required from us. And this passage reminds us of the need for our hearts to be right before the Lord, so that the understanding we've been given will be increased, and our faith will go stronger, and we will do the acts that God has called us to do. And if we don't, if we choose not to, then it's a backward step, and it's a retreat, and that which we have will be removed from us. So which is it? It's one or the other. Do we go from faith to greater faith to heaven, or do we go from faith to lesser faith to nothing and bear the consequences of our sin? May the Lord have mercy on all of us, and may the Lord keep our hearts on fire for him. And if those fires are growing dim, let us turn to him to stoke those fires. Let's get back in fellowship together. Let's apply ourselves to God's word and to prayer, and let those fires spring up again as our faith increases and we join with the great saints in that wonderful journey along the narrow way to heaven. Amen. Well, shall we sing our last hymn, number 377? And Brother Janusz, would you like to pray at the end?
Yes, no problem.
Okay, good. Right. My hope is built on nothingness, and my soul creed, I trust the ever-living one, his words for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and Jesus died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need the plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Saviour's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Just one moment, Brother Yanush, we'll hook you up.